everybody. Welcome to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. Each week, we break down the most recent episode of our favorite reality competition show, Top Chef, with summaries, analysis, and today, I think maybe some references to John Besh's hair, probably. I'm just guessing. Tanya?
Yeah, no, I have some thoughts on John Besh, but we'll get there.
Anyway, great. So that's the sort of people we are. As we introduce ourselves today, though, let's do this panel. I want everybody to say, let's all say, in honor of the Philadelphia cream cheese episode, let's all say the processed food item we would like to sponsor a challenge and thus be forced to put in every dish. So, for example, I'm your host. I'm Alex Falcone in Portland, Oregon. And I would love to see a Top Chef challenge that is sponsored by the company that makes fake vegetables and fruits. So, like, instead of vegetables and fruits, you have to, like, put runts for your fruits. And you have to have, like, candy corn as your vegetable.
Oh, God.
That would be so fun. I would eat a candy corn puree.
I would eat the banana runts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Banana runts.
Banana runts.
Nobody ever understands why.
I would like, yeah, maybe a banana runt split. I'd eat that.
Yeah,
anyway,
delish.
Also in Portland today, joining me is Megan. Megan, what would you like to see processed and forced into food?
I think I would have to say Pop Rocks, because Pop Rocks are really making a comeback right now, and I've had them in some chocolates and have enjoyed it, and so I want to see Pop Rocks sort of enter the world
savory.
Of savory food.
Ooh.
I want to see what the chefs can do with that.
Wait, didn't we have a Pop Rocks stuffed under the skin of a chicken roasting?
Did we have that?
No, didn't we talk about that 2 weeks ago, Ezra? Yeah, not eat it. Were you talking about stuffing? No, that was popcorn. Sorry, not Pop Rocks.
Okay,
I was like, I knew there was something crunchy under there, but it wasn't Pop Rocks.
Right, well, I have this great idea for a chicken recipe. All right, joining us in New York this week, it's Tanya by herself in New York, because we asked Chris to pack his mics and go. Tanya, what would you like to see forced into food?
I think this... I like the idea of something that I enjoy eating on its own, but I also think would just be like the most unholy food challenge of all time, which would be Cheetos.
Oh, okay.
It's just that would just be so horrifying. I think everybody would be really sad, but I would kind of love it.
Yeah, but Cheetos are pretty good.
They are.
Yeah, I
could definitely imagine a Cheeto crust to something.
Yeah. Well, and then I thought it would be interesting if, like, you had to draw knives to see if you got the crunchy ones or the Cheetos, like, puffs.
Or the
puffs. Because I feel like that's like a game changer. Like, and especially if you were like, I know what I'm going to put on as, like, a crust. And then you're like, oh, like, the puffs. What am I going to do now? Like,
in case you had a Cheetos recipe in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Puff only. The spicy ones. I'm not ready for that.
We always Except do this at the restaurant, but not like that.
They wouldn't draw knives, though, right? Just be like, okay, everyone grouped around, Shirley.
Everyone grouped around the puffiest person in the competition.
Also joining us today in San Francisco, it is Sarah and Ez. Sarah, why don't you start out? What would you want to see in food?
I'm thinking I would like to see fruit cocktail. That's something I fruit in like the little fruity liquid. I really enjoyed that as a kid, even though I only ate it when I was sick for some reason, but it always made me feel better. So, I'm picturing people kind of taking it in the dessert direction, but maybe a soup or a jam.
Yeah. All of these seem much harder than cream cheese.
Yeah.
That one especially sounds like, well, I mean, I guess mine too. These all sound like they're going to create some disgusting dishes.
I'm sure there'd be someone who would just serve it like from the can being like, it was just perfect the way it came.
I just want to respect the fruit cocktail.
Yeah, that's the season one maneuver.
Fruit cocktails are really fun because they always have like just a couple of cherries in them. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like, just a few.
They probably aren't cherries. They're probably like cherries with a K. So it's like crab or something.
something cherries?
Imitation cherries.
Pollock fruit cocktail.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Yeah, they make it entirely out of Pollock.
All right. Also, Ezra, what would you like to see in the challenge?
So there's, as far as I know, there's only one dish a year this actually makes it into. So I'd love to see it kind of expand out and other things. But no, French's onion, like fried onion.
Oh, okay, similar. Yeah,
they're only in green, you know, green bean casserole for Thanksgiving. It's the only time I've ever seen anyone use it for anything. Yeah. And I think its time has come.
They use them on hot dogs in Denmark.
That's true. They do use it on hot dogs in Denmark. That's great.
That's a good place for them. Well, I'm comfortable with that.
They're not Denmarkian onions. They're French.
Well, they're French's. Look at this French dude just bought them. He sells them to everywhere.
even to the Danish, Alex.
That's, yeah. I think it's a different country. That's reasonable. All right. That one actually sounds like it would make decent food. I could imagine that working, as onion is actually sort of a food.
Yeah. This is kind of, basically, right?
Not Pollock cherries.
Yeah, not Pollock cherries. Isn't that what maraschino cherries are made out of? They're made out of, like, not cherries. They're, like, bleached Pollock dipped in red.
Yeah. Maraschino cherries are made out of chemicals.
Yeah.
Mostly banana rocks.
For them to happen in life.
Awesome. Well, if you want to make any of these dishes, I think every one of these processed foods is available on Amazon.com. So you can go to packyourmics.com/Amazon right now and buy Runtz and French's onions, just a guess, and then tell us what delicious things you made. Also, if you go to that address when you buy stuff from Amazon, you support our show, which would be a very nice thing for you to do. Let's talk about Top Chef episode 6 now, you guys. So, very exciting. We had an actual quickfire and elimination challenge in the same day, which is always nice. There was a brief knife block. I mean, it was the whole episode.
Yeah.
The knives are back, y'all.
But they were not for the team. They're not for teams. They were just for what food you're eating. And we've done that before this season. Just not for teams. So, I think it's still... The knife block is on notice.
I didn't love that we crammed Creole tomatoes and the cream cheese into everything. That was not my favorite part of this.
Which was crazy right after Halloween. I think we all know that that's not tomato season.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
But
yeah,
any season is cream cheese season. So.
I guess they don't have Creole pumpkins.
Yeah. Yeah. Low acid pumpkins.
The skin is very thin. It's a bright, citrusy flavor.
Thin skin pumpkin sounds disgusting.
Yeah, no, that'd be rough stuff.
Just poke it in his goop everywhere.
Quick release pumpkins.
Yeah. I also think when you were talking about how the fruit cocktail made you feel better, Sarah, I was thinking that if they did that on Top Chef, it would be like, so we have the celebrity guest who was sick like 6 months ago, but she's going to pretend she's sick now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting over flu season in like March. Yeah.
It's flu season now, right?
Let's be clear. I feel like it would be the Amanda Bynes fruit cocktail challenge.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. Actually,
I would get actually like, that reminds me though, like if it was like, Padma is sick today, everybody has to make her chicken soup. Like, that would be kind of a neat challenge.
Yeah, I like that. Actually.
That'd be adorable. Yeah. I'd be
fine. We've infected Padma with a special strain.
We wrapped her up in this flu blanket. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's worth it, but I would like it. All right, so let's talk about the quickfire today. So you guys, as you mentioned, it was you hinted at it already, but why don't we have Ezra? Why don't you just explain the quickfire today for us?
Yeah. I'm going to use Alex Brand Reynolds Wrap Notes for this one.
Okay, go ahead.
So basically...
A cheat sheet?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Alex. Yeah. It's going to be much more accurate in while Chris is gone. So we had John Besh, famous restaurateur and hair haver, to... He basically said, like, hey, we got some Creole tomatoes, because we're in New Orleans. Make some with that. You got 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who you thought would probably screw up, screwed that up.
Yep.
Like Patty and Travis. Stephanie, unfortunately, got confused by, I guess, the options of tomatoes.
Yeah.
And just could not hang.
She made something that tasted great, but was not, what was kind of boring, which you're not going to go home for. I mean, it's
no.
Far anyway, but like,
yeah.
That's not the worst thing anyone's ever said to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, they got the judge said, Besh said, like, it doesn't really show enough for 20 minutes of effort. I'm amazed they got the tomatoes cut in 20 minutes. And that's,
You're just, like, trying to get them all even, like, slice them down.
Yeah. 20 minutes is so little time.
You have to wash it really thoroughly, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were on a farm. I mean, they're outside on a farm. The fact that they cooked anything in 20 minutes is very impressive.
Yeah.
Even if their pots and pans were all stored in the Toyota RAV4.
Oh, it's
I liked
great
the
to hold
detail
the
that Padma was like, I packed your pots and pans for you. I was like, no, you didn't. Yeah. And then I just thought about how I desperately need the like the spinoff of like the PAs of Top Chef, where you just like watch them wrap things in tin foil and like bitch to each other and like take
that
smoke
would be
breaks.
Really fun.
Well, so they did that reality show after Top Chef. They should have the before Top Chef, where it's just the people getting ready for the day.
The setup.
Yeah.
But not like the fun stuff, not like that weird minisode where they did like the set design for the Halloween party. Like, no, I just want like the lowest level people.
Right. I would love to see also just a writer's meeting where they were like, all right, you guys, here's our sponsor. How do we cram this into food today?
I know, we'll wrap everything in the kitchen in Reynolds wrap.
So they were also on a farm, a very famous farm outside of New Orleans, apparently. Farm to table was the theme for much of the episode.
But just farm to farm for that one, right? Because like, there were no tables in that part of the challenge.
Up. Farm to Toyota RAV4.
Padma packed herself.
Okay, Tanya, you said you had some opinions
on
John.
Oh, and Nina won, because Nina always wins.
Yes, that's true.
I'm just wondering... Carlos, go ahead. Also,
so I'll just finish that up. Nina won with a chilled soup, and with the A for extra effort of chilling the soup. And then also, Carlos and Lewis were in the top for big, bold flavors and elevated the tomato. Anyway, Tanya, what was your theory on John Besh?
I think, unless I'm... do you guys all find him, like, insanely dishy? Just curious.
Whoa, dishy.
Like, is that a good thing?
Yeah,
I felt like multiple people... No, like, oh, like, he's a bit of a dish, like, yeah. You know.
You mean like a douche with an I?
No.
She does mean that, definitely.
I
he
feel
put
like
the
it's
I in douche.
Like, let's all think back to Titanic and when the old lady says that, like, she was a bit of a dish back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like everyone makes references to John Besh.
Oh, okay,
being
so
hot.
You think, like, Jack would paint John Besh like one of his French ladies?
Yes. It seems like everyone on Top Chef would be really open to like John Besh like wearing the Diamond of the Sea or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, the Heart of the Ocean.
And like reclining on some velvet. I don't see it, and I'm wondering if you need to see him in person to understand what this like insane magnet, like everyone's like, he's hot and his hair and blah, and I'm like, what is happening? Like,
I mean,
I also don't understand.
I still have no idea what you guys are talking about. I mean, I'm glad you stand by your dish comment, but I have no idea what you're talking about. But everyone did say, like, a surprising number of people complimented his hair for a guy with weird hair.
Yeah,
actually, I kind of realized
weird hair.
He kind of has like John hair. So, like, if you've seen John Edwards or like old pictures of John Ritter, it's kind of the same hair.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
He does have John.
That's really weird. It's like a shared wig that they just
yeah.
Anytime anybody like, well, Ritter not anymore, but still
floppy, one-sided.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very straight,
floofy thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Tom does not have any hair really, so for him, it's mm. like, well, you have all of it.
Yeah, that's
well, his
what
name
I was
is
sort
Tom.
Of
yeah, his name's
is
Tom.
That...
It's Tom hair.
It looks
his
like
is not John.
Bald head.
It looks like sort of the type of hair that you would expect to thin, but it hasn't started thinning yet. So
yeah,
surprised.
That's a good call.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's there.
Oh,
good point.
That's
that.
like good job still being a live person who takes a lot of risks. It's like not exactly.
Yeah, it's like an 80-year-old smoker hair.
Yeah,
it's a good job.
Not entirely a compliment.
But yeah, I guess I think it was specifically Stephanie who called him a stud.
Oh yeah,
a stud.
No,
why?
That might be like preferencing number of restaurants owned over actual physical appearance. In that case,
he's a powerhouse.
Yeah,
but she was like, he's a stud and he's an amazing chef.
Oh, so wait a minute. So maybe the idea. So is he a TV personality? Like, does he have like a cooking show or something like that? Because it could be that like among chefs who are on TV all the time. He's the
so he's
of
like,
the crop.
He's
you know?
Like a he's like a four in the streets, but an eight in chef TV.
Right, yeah.
But think about like John Besh versus like Ming Tsai or John Besh versus like Nigella Lawson. Like, are we really like running our hands through that surprising hair?
That surprising hair.
I like all my
anyway,
hair.
Anyway, I'm
surprising.
Sorry. He seems like a perfectly nice dude. It's fine.
Seems fine. What did you guys were you guys surprised at the amount of complaining about tomatoes and fresh vegetables as a challenge? Like, did you expect these chefs to be so vexed by a versatile selection of tomatoes?
I think that they were just overwhelmed by the options. Like, they were like it was like tomato, and then later in the quickfire challenge, like, Benny was really like flummoxed about what to do with a chicken. Like, they were just like, they were too
Benny. Benny. Poor Benny.
So that might be about other things with in Ezra's opinion, but you think it might have been spoiled for choice?
Yeah, I think that the options were just too plentiful, and they were having trouble like
doing anything besides a salad.
Yeah, they didn't have, you know, like maybe they work better within like constraints where they can sort of.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was too open ended.
They were like, "Hey, today, cook your food," and they're like, "What? I've forgotten."
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Phew.
Are you
put
sure?
Put cream cheese in that or not?
It's so hot, you guys.
There was also
they were really disturbed by the heat. I think that really threw everyone for a loop.
Yeah,
that's
it's so
true.
Warm out.
And
I can think to serve is watermelon and feta. That was every other dish.
Tomato watermelon soup was a popular one, and none of those won. Well, I guess
the soup. Yeah, the Nina's soup one.
Nina did win a soup.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so strange for Halloween time they were doing this, and it was so hot.
Oh, watermelons kind of have a squashy quality sometimes.
Yeah. It's infinite Halloween.
I would like to see a thin-skinned watermelon.
And you just like, it's like just like you pin it, pop it with a pin, and just like.
It's like a flavorful water balloon. Yeah, you just pop it and it's just.
I mean, it's basically a gusher, is what you're thinking of, though, right?
Yeah,
it's a giant gusher.
I would like to eat gushers, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I miss gushers, you guys.
Gushers, guys.
Yeah.
That's my challenge. Okay, here's my challenge then. For you have to either use gushers or make food that is like gushers. Like if you made a like lava cake, I would take that.
Also, to the internet, when you finish getting Tanya a job, send gushers.
Also, you can probably buy gushers at packyourmics.com/Amazon. Anyway, actually, that reminds me. Speaking of great product placement, we were making fun of the RAV4s earlier, but does it seem weird that they had to drive themselves to the farm? That there's always, they're like, well, they just, there's obviously a camera guy in the car, but it's like camera guy, five contestants, just drive to the farm. Doesn't it seem like you should be driven places?
I feel like they often drive to Whole Foods or wherever they're shopping.
They do, and it's weird to me. I don't know. That seems strange to me.
It does seem like
But
a
sometimes, maybe that's part of testing your chef skill. How well do you drive?
Can you drive to the grocery store and back?
And I think it's also a product placement thing. Like because that gives them the chance to interview some chef about like the amazing like reversing that you can do in the RAV4, whatever.
So we all got in the
whatever
RAV4s,
the feature is.
And it was amazing. It had a full variety of gears, and
those
I
country
drove.
Roads
it was like steering
were
steering wheel. It was nice.
It's like silk.
Yeah, gear to table.
Yeah, gear to table.
I just generally about the quickfire versus the elimination.
Yeah.
I really felt like it would have made me happier if the sponsor had been, if they'd had to do something with cream cheese in 20 minutes, and then the farm to table was just like
wonderful
do something with this tomato
yeah.
also.
Farm to table.
I realized like $10,000. Philly cream cheese, I get it. You paid big money. So even though you're not based in New Orleans, we all have to deal with you. But still, I felt like it was a stretch and it was frustrating.
Well,
and nobody had any like interesting chefy things to say about cream cheese. They weren't like, whenever you need to do this, cream cheese. Like,
And also Philly cream cheese is just so opposite of fresh farm to table stuff. It was so bizarre.
Yeah,
and
they were trying to shoehorn in like it only takes 6 days to get from a cow's udder to like your stuff, but ugh.
Yeah. What part I don't know what part of the table or the farm is growing xanthan gum and whey protein isolate, but Philadelphia cream cheese is not what I think of when I think of something that is freshly delivered to my house.
No.
Yeah, no.
This is a chemically cheese product. That's what it is.
Right.
It's
next time,
processed.
Try putting, like, a leaf on your logo, and then maybe we'll think about you and green in the same sentence. But like,
So let's use that to transition into the elimination. Do we have anything else we need to add to the challenge? You had to incorporate Philadelphia brand cream cheese. How about Tanya? What else do we have to do for the challenge? What else was in the elimination challenge?
the elimination challenge. Yeah. So it was Philadelphia brand cream cheese, and that was the only, that and cream, right, was the only dairy that they used. There was
like
no butter.
Milk or something, yeah.
Yeah.
No other dairy products. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there were no other dairy products available to them.
Which made things so much worse.
Specifically not butter was what everyone was really worried about.
There was a female voice that kept chiming in like, no, you can't have butter. Because like pretty much everyone took a moment to ask if they had butter somewhere in the kitchen, and then some lady kept saying, we don't have butter.
It's too bad. This would have been Michael's perfect challenge. He could totally excel at there not being
around. Yeah, there wasn't butter. I made it myself.
Right.
He's so ready for that. Just, even when there is butter, he plays that challenge. So he was ready.
Just leisurely churning in the corner, calling everyone sweetie.
Do you guys... the other thing we should say is they had to make a family-style dish. Is there anything different about them presenting family-style? Or what's the point of that? Did that seem to change anything for them?
It looks soupier.
No.
You know, just kind of see general more liquid in the bottom.
I think it's easier.
And then I felt like a lot of the food photography for the chef's individual offerings were still like single servings.
Yeah, it looked like they were nicely plated just on a tray instead of plates. Mm-hmm. They were trayed.
Right.
I think they did the family style because that's more rustic, farm to table feeling. It's just part of the overall, you know, shtick.
Yeah, and you know, real moms use Philadelphia cream cheese in the family style. So
yeah, moms don't plate things individually. Come on,
that's true. They put them on very fancy trays.
Real moms use a trough. Let's be clear.
farm to farm, it's just a trough full of your food. You must create one dish with Philadelphia cream cheese and then slop it into a bucket.
Oh, and I guess the other thing was that they were cooking at the kitchen at La Provence for the challenge. Mm-hmm. And the whole staff of La Provence was at the judges, or not at the judges' table, but at the table for like the serving. Like they all got to eat the food. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was really intimidated by like that being the table of judges being like the La Provence people, and then also John Besh and Padma and Gail and Tom. Like everyone seemed extra intimidated by the table.
Yeah,
was something that I felt like a lot of people touched on.
A lot of people mentioned that, including somebody. Was it judges' table? Somebody asked Tom, like, "Do you think maybe it was Besh? Like, no, this is Tom said it. Do you think everyone's intimidated by the group they're serving tonight?" That was such a weird question for Top Chef. Every single episode is an intimidating group of judges.
Yeah, it was a little surprising.
Even when it's like kids.
It was the sheer volume of judges or people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Are you intimidated by these kids?
No, but yeah, even when it's kids, it's like, yeah, so we brought, you have to serve this to like all of the second graders in the Greater New Orleans School District and these 10 amazing chefs who will decide your future. It's always like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As I wanted to ask you, like you sighed for Bene. Talk us through Bene's arc on this.
It's just like, I don't know, I feel like he was just kind of wounded like early on in this season, and just I want to have the hunter put him down already.
So Bene made roasted chicken breast with accidentally steamed vegetables.
Yeah.
The chef's like, pretty angry about that.
He's like, my food, I'm going to put a towel on it. Oh, wait, no, that steams things.
Yeah, even I saw that coming, and I'm the one who cooked a chicken upside down.
But not steamed.
Bene and his adventures with lids.
I'm the one who wanted to put popcorn under the chicken's skin. What do I know?
Not Pop Rocks, though.
Never. So this was, I mean, it did seem like another one where... It did not seem like that hard of a challenge, and a lot of people were just complaining and then screwing up. Weird.
Cream cheese, yeah. Man. It was dumb.
Yeah, no one could say anything bad about the cream cheese.
And they wanted to so bad.
Because the $10,000 were on the line. But
cream cheese was just like kind of fucking up things left and right, right? Yeah. Like
who wants to slather Philadelphia cream cheese over their fresh farm vegetables?
It's true. It's totally true. Yeah. It makes some sense in the desserts and a tiny bit in the appetizers, but it's like the entrees was the hard one this week.
Yeah.
Nina's winning zucchini blossoms. It's like a lightly fried zucchini blossom with cream cheese in the middle. Sounds great.
Delicious. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a jalapeno popper, but a zucchini blossom popper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like in the desserts, Nicholas killed it with a funnel cake that was not good, but then a carrot cake that was delicious with cream cheese in it. So it was definitely, those were the easy things.
I thought the funnel cake was the carrot cake. No, but they're like, both?
I got really confused by what happened there. I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. So it was he made funnel cake, and then it was kind of greasy. It was not greasy, but it was...
Oh, the dough was messing it up, which at first I didn't understand.
But then he basically had dippable carrot cake next to it. And so you dipped the funnel cake in the carrot cake mousse. It was like a carrot cake mousse, basically. Mm.
And then fried it? Or no, he fried the funnel cake.
No, he fried the funnel cake first. It was kind of like a churro.
You had basically like the churro that you dipped in the carrot cake mousse. And apparently the carrot cake mousse was amazing. And it was so good that they didn't care that the funnel cake was kind of crappy.
Funnel cake didn't actually turn out that well. Because I thought...
It turned out fine. It was just like, this is boring funnel cake and a really amazing carrot cake mousse.
Okay.
And the idea of carrot cake mousse, I would like some right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds pretty okay.
What did you guys
that's the thing. Cream cheese frosting is delicious. I don't know why nobody
went there the way that they could have. That's what the challenge should have been. Just like, make us cream cheese frosting.
And then I would have loved that challenge.
I would enjoy that challenge too, although I don't like the idea that like one of the entree people had to be like, well, I made duck breast with cream cheese frosting.
I'm willing to try it once.
So the other person who was way on the bottom this week was Travis, whose seared lamb with cream cheese aioli and also was mostly faulted for its really terrible knife skills, including the most inexplicable quote on the history of Top Chef, which was he cut his lamb really badly because the knife was too short or it was too sharp. His knife was too sharp. Butchered
well,
lamb.
I think
how hard.
And he
that?
Was like cutting it at the wrong time or something. Also, there's something in meat called a fat cap, so sink that in. That's some terrible news. I really wanted there to be like a Gold Rush style diagram, like where the fat cap is.
Yeah, pull down the chart.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's 90% gold dust and then 10% fat cap. That's what lamb is.
And then there's the glory hole.
Tanya, can that be your catchphrase from now on?
It's Jack's catchphrase for a while on that show.
Yeah, man. That and I know what I'm doing.
Oh, man, I think we would probably have an even narrower audience, but I would love to do a podcast where I just got to talk about Cold Rush every week because I'm obsessed with that show.
Oh, and we would be the only ones. Oh.
I know what I'm doing. I'm going to dig. It's the old man with his he's in love with this dozer, and he just likes to go dig, and he just doesn't care about the plan.
Is a dozer a bulldozer?
A bulldozer, yeah. Like or an
he's in love with
excavator.
It?
He's just always talking about his 400. He's like, you can't take my 400. This is my tractor.
This is my baby.
I do like the idea, though, that we get, like, the smaller, like, niche interests of the internet, where it's like, so it's like, from the creators, pack your mind, I know what I'm doing.
A Gold Rush commentary show.
That's fine. I'm working on a commentary about an Alan Cumming fragrance commercial from, like, 2003, so I think we're all good.
That's what it would be, yeah. This is just our podcast dedicated to the many different Geico characters. We could find it as. I think we could niche this down until we're actually really famous. That's the beauty.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Magical. I do want to say something about Travis, though, because I know... I think the last time I talked about him, I was throwing him some shade because he was being all bitchy about someone criticizing his food. And then when he and Benny and Nina were revealed to be, like, a little group of friends, I somehow, like, warmed to him so much.
Yeah,
and then I got all worried for him.
I thought about that too. Like, if Nina likes him, he must be okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Well,
especially when she called
surrounding herself with people that, you know, she can be better than. But that's not really her personality. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's like, I mean, they are a little non-threatening. Like, that's fine. But they're also, maybe it's just like the only not dicks that she found.
Maybe.
Well, it seems like they're all kind of funny. Like like when they were joking around together, I got the impression that those were the humorous people in the
house. This was an interesting time, right? Because there was Benny and the Clicks, and then there was also like Nicholas and
Benny and the Clicks.
And Nicholas
he's
talked
got
about
tomatoes
his,
too. Yeah, sorry.
Nicholas talked about his kids, and Rockabilly talked about how she was like, didn't want to disappoint her boyfriend, and
oh, that was
of 1 year. No of judgment, year. But still.
No, come on. Yeah, no, I did the same thing, Sarah. I did the
you
same thing.
Say no judgment after you just shit on somebody.
Some judgment. Some
We're
judgment.
All judging you, Sarah.
A little judgment.
Mostly judgment. Anyway, but so there was a bunch of cutscenes like Carlos talked about growing up, his growing up, and none of those people went home. It was just like, I wondered if maybe this was the episode where everybody crossed the boundary into Lonely Town. Like, this was the day where people started to, like, feel like, well, I've been kind of away. I've been away from everybody for a while. I might as well start making crazy friends and missing my kids. And
right? Throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like the elves went a little bit Tyra Banks, and they're like, and you get a backstory, and you get a backstory. Everyone gets a backstory.
Yeah, there was that. They were also the magical elves were at their coyest today because the judges were all so angry about one dish, and they all agreed very strongly, and they were like, yes, we definitely picked the right person. But you had I had no idea which one of the three it was, because it seemed like they spread it out evenly, but they were all unanimous. So I think they were trying really hard to hide who was going home today.
Yeah, I was pretty sure Sarah was going home, actually. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I mean, I kind of wanted Benny to go home just because I felt like he's the weakest chef of all of them at this point. But I don't know. They hated her lamb.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. I was hoping she would go home just because her boyfriend's going to be disappointed eventually. Why not now?
He'll get over it. It's only been a year.
The thing with Nina being... with Nina being friends with Benny and Travis, I kind of felt like it was like sort of like this story can't end well, right? It's like they all like want to make it, but it's kind of like Meryl Streep being friends with like the Olsen twins and saying like we're all gonna be great actors, like all three of us are gonna be fine.
You guys, but the row is straight killing it, so they're doing fine. No one worry about the Olsen twins. Everyone's okay.
Although he's right, yeah, they are gonna be fine, but they were not great actors. I mean, it took two of them to play one baby, so not great. I like Nina as always, and Justin was still straight killing it. Both tops. It seems like we've sort of settled out into like the Nina and Justin program and occasional guest stars, right?
I want Shirley and I want Stephanie in there also.
Yeah, well, so actually here's what I'd like to do. Let's do this. Let's do our quipfire segment. I want to know, we talked a little bit about a couple weeks ago about who we thought would be on Restaurant Wars. Here's what I want to know. With who's left, who do you think is going to be front of the house and who is going to be executive chef for Restaurant Wars?
Mm. Wait, so what? How many chefs do we have left right now?
Oh, that's a great question. My cheat sheet does not have that information.
How far away from Restaurant Wars?
Okay, so wait. 5 + 4 + 4. Minus 1.
12?
12 now.
12 now. So Restaurant Wars might be coming up in if 4...
Yeah.
Four more.
Yeah. I just of the people left, like, we seems like we've clearly got our top with Nina and Justin, the people
okay.
to eat. But like who's gonna make dessert, I guess, and who's gonna be on front of the house, because
I think
trust them.
I'm gonna do a combo. I think Doe Eyes is doing both front of the house and dessert.
That's actually that's a totally good pick. I think she works for that because she has this perfect ability to make dough and has doughy eyes, and so she'd be very friendly at the front and there.
I think Carlos is going to be put in front of the house somewhere because people are going to think he's charismatic because he has an accent.
He is charismatic. He's also pretty good, right? Hasn't Carlos been doing some good stuff?
He's gotten better.
Yeah.
Well, and he can always like tell a tragic story about himself in like a couple words, and you're suddenly like, what?
Inspire people.
Yeah, he's very inspiring in his tragedy.
Definitely. Unlike Michael's tragedy, where it just made me hate him more, Carlos's tragedy is like, yeah, oh, that's wow.
It's like, what? Well, because he's pretty up about it. He's like, yeah, and then I kicked ass.
Yeah,
and that's why I never quit. Is sort of what he always.
So believe in yourself, children. You can do it too.
Yeah, and see, and actually, you know what? And Carlos has magnificent hair. Like, I can't think of him without thinking about his hair.
Yeah.
See, Besh, get on the train. Figure it out.
I feel like... Well, okay, how about... Let's do it this way, then. Let's do this prediction.
I have one for front of the house.
Oh, okay, great.
Mm.
So I think Carrie is definitely going to still be around then.
Yeah.
And I think that she could do a dessert and front of the house, and I think she could do awesome at it. I think that she could do both of those really well.
Wait, isn't Carrie Doughy Eyes?
Yeah, she's Doughy Eyes.
Yeah,
Megan, you and I are on the same wavelength.
I thought, so there's someone else the...
Who also has big eyes.
Patty.
Yeah, I thought...
Is it Patty?
No, yeah, Patty is
Patty's wet eyes, yeah, as opposed to Joe.
Oh, okay. See, the nickname thing isn't working for me.
Sorry. Yeah, right? Eyes. We haven't standardized it.
Too many eyes nicknames.
They all have eyes, guys. All the chefs have eyes.
So Doughy Eyes was because, like, originally she had that deer in the headlights look, so Dough Eyes. But then also... she always makes dough, and so it was kind of a combo nickname. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it.
Celebrity homonyms.
But you're right, yeah. Patty, I would not expect it to be on the front of the house because no one wants your server to be crying.
I kind of want that.
She'll be cutting vegetables.
She did. Yeah. Actually, Patty had a really great line where she was like, she did poorly in the quickfire, and she's like, I think I'm great at doing badly in quickfire. If you ever want to learn how to do badly at quickfire, just ask
right to the bottom.
Yeah, I can help you.
Also, I was just thinking, like,
that.
I'll teach you, like, all the tricks for losing at quickfire.
No, but seriously, a depressing spinoff of Shenanigans where it's like sad nanigans, and like Patty is like just Patty's just crying, all the servers are just really depressed.
Just like giving her, like, bringing her booze.
Depressigans.
Yeah. Like, here's some more wine.
Come to Sad Nanigans.
That's pretty tough. Does anyone want to make a guess as to who is not going to be there then? Let's make a couple of eliminations. I feel like even though Nicholas did well in this episode, I'm still not sure I've ever seen him on the show. Or Brian. I don't think Brian's ever been on this show yet.
Did Brian get voted off?
No.
Oh.
No, he was on this episode.
Brian's still here?
He made squash and zucchini. He's the one with the weird glasses and weird hair.
Dyed hair.
Oh, yeah. He's really stuck to the middle.
Yeah.
He's really stuck to the middle.
And he and Shirley, when they did the off-camera, like, which barnyard animal are you? He and Shirley, swapped. So he said what he thought Shirley would be, and Shirley said what she thought Brian would be. So I got the impression that, like, they know each other
he's at least talked to someone once.
But usually I'm just struck by how terrible his hair is. So I'm sorry, Brian.
Odd
just,
looking.
It's all right. He's just kind of like a palm tree. I don't hate it.
It's a little 90s.
Really?
It's like a palm tree. I don't
hate it. I feel like palm trees are right.
If you were only doing a karaoke version of Steal My Sunshine, I would be fine with his hair. But since he's on Top Chef, I have a problem.
I think Brian will stick around because he's just been so solidly in the middle. He's not going to make it to the very top, but I think that he could make it to the final eight.
Yeah, actually, Megan, that brings up an important point that this was my other issue with Rockabilly, was when she was saying, like, I've been in the middle and it's really starting to bother me.
Yeah.
And I thought, you don't want to peak too early, Rockabilly. Yeah. Like, tie your scarf a little tighter, stop talking about how your boyfriend of 1 year is your best friend, and, you know, stay where you are instead of getting mad at yourself, because really, I think the anxiety and the pressure of, like, expecting that you're at the top until you win is what will bring you down.
Well, yeah. Plus, I'm going to just add to that. Rockabilly, you really haven't been in the middle.
Yeah.
That's a pretty skewed view of what the middle is.
The middle of the bottom, maybe. And that she's like... she's not the dead last, but yeah.
Yeah, that is just, like, that's classic, like, hubris, I think. Like, being in the middle when there's this many chefs is... totally fine, and being on the bottom is the worst. And like, if you're gonna go, like, I'm gonna change gears really hard when I've been doing well enough to pass, you're gonna screw up, and it's only gonna get worse, and then you're gonna be shaken, and it just doesn't make any sense. Be so happy you're in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know you want your accolades and your $10,000 from cream cheese people, but it's just just cruise for a little while. Keep cruising. You can't win the competition today, but you can lose.
Alex, how good would it have been, like, if when they delivered the $10,000 check, like, there were actually just people made out of cream cheese that were doing it? Like, they're just, like, they harvest themselves, and that's the Philadelphia cream cheese people?
Oh. It's a dark turn.
No, they're friendly about it.
Like, it's like, it's like,
just
green.
Melty and creepy.
It's like, no, like, they're cows, like, they have to, like, give it off, otherwise they'll, like, get too full. And there's like, oh, yes, please, we have all these extra cream cheese.
That doesn't mean we want to eat it.
It's a natural resource.
That can talk and present checks?
How is this weirder than cows?
It's weird that we, like we just see cows walking around giving out checks to people, and then we eat them. It's very strange.
Yeah, that's a dick move on our part.
Well, back to the original question.
Yeah.
I think that Patty, Lewis, and Travis are the next three to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to say...
What do you mean it makes sense for sure?
Well, like, as in, like, those guys, yeah, if like if the world is fair and like, you know, reasonable, then that would be what happens.
Right. It doesn't always go that way, but I think those three are so far below the rest that I'd be very, it'd have to be a big upset.
Yeah, someone who's good would have to screw up pretty badly to be like worse than like their normal day.
Right. I think that Stephanie has a lot of talent, but she's been really inconsistent, and she also seems to like really doubt herself a lot, and that kind of screws her up sometimes. Yeah.
And this time so she made the fatal flaw of like using the necessary ingredient of cream cheese in her
dessert. Yeah, I know.
Which really screwed me up.
So I think that she might be go leave before, you know, she before deserves time. To.
She could be the surprise upset.
I would not be surprised if Sarah flamed out either, though. She's trying so hard not to be in the middle. I could definitely see her ending up.
Just gets really erratic.
Yeah. And then getting mad at someone who's non-villainously at the top also seems like a really strange... Like, why would you let that bother you? I don't understand the logic
there. So it seems like we have our top tier, and or at least our bottom tier, and some middle tier. Who do you think is the third... Like if it was like the finale right now, who's in the finale with Nina and Justin?
I want Shirley.
Yeah, Shirley.
Yeah, I would like it if Shirley was there.
Shirley.
Yeah, I think it's probably the right call. I think she'll probably be fourth.
I could see Carlos. I could see Stephanie like kind of find like have a dark horse like way of getting in. Nicholas, if like he gets like a crazy hot streak for some reason. But he seems
that from Nicholas.
No, I think he finishes like seventh or sixth.
Nicholas is the guy who I keep not remembering is on the show, like Brian. Like I just don't know Nicholas? What Nicholas is all about. Yeah.
Yeah. Her?
Yeah. All right, so we sent Benny home, which was just seemed clear like the right choice. His food wasn't very good. Which means we got to see him on Last Chance to Be on TV. So the Loser's Bracket game show, Last Chance Kitchen, you guys, was Benny versus the Australian, who has been kicking ass so far. And she's only won three matches, I guess, but one of them was against five people. So
she seems more powerful than maybe she should seem.
Yeah.
But all of her vanquished like foes like do like they add to her strength, you know, because she eats their hearts and then...
She does. Well, she eats their soft cream cheese bodies and then...
You know what? I do have one last thing to say, is that whoever is dressing Gail, could you please also dress Padma? And if it's the same person, then what happens when you look at Padma that you can't dress her like Gail? Because the radish dress was the best thing in the world.
Gail was wearing a dress covered in radishes.
It was delightful. It was majestic.
I totally missed this.
They're close.
And then something orange and ruffled happened to Padma that was like below the knee, and there were so many ruffles, and it was very confusing. I mean,
I didn't notice the ruffle, but I definitely noticed the radish and thought it was great.
I didn't notice the radishes until I read Gail's blog, where she was so proud of the radish dress. And
I was too.
She was high really five, happy Gail. About it.
Giant high five, followed by a lingering hug. I'm lingering. That's right. I'm doing the lingering.
A rub in the small of her back, maybe?
No, hair. I don't know. There's no wandering hands. I think the fact that I'm hugging for too long is enough.
Well, actually, that's an interesting thing. I think we have agreed with this, but I've talked to other people who were like Top Chef, and I have been surprised. Some people really like Gail. And I found her very grating up till... But this season, she's won me over. I don't hate Gail this year.
I think she and Padma have too much wine together sometimes, and that's why they exchange all those dirty jokes. It's one of my favorite things to think
about. Well, not right now, because this season, Gail is, like, totally pregnant the whole season.
Well, secrets. It's fine.
But, like, probably not drinking a ton of wine, but she still wants to...
No, but I'm just saying in the past.
Yeah,
she's faking it.
They have a shared history.
I agree with that.
Drinking too much wine.
All right, so Last Chance Kitchen. Megan, will you just tell us really quick what the challenge was for Last Chance Kitchen?
Yes, the challenge for Last Chance Kitchen was to make something, and the only produce you could use was frozen or canned, I think.
Yeah, canned or frozen produce.
Canned or frozen produce.
As far as I can tell, nobody touched a can.
No, I don't think so.
They were like, Tom was saying in his normal, like, snarky Last Chance way, like, on the show, you got the best vegetables. Now have the worst. So they could only use the terrible vegetables. But basically, the two of them just used frozen peas and nothing else. They were just like these.
There was some frozen corn.
Yeah, little
and there was and some frozen artichoke.
Yeah, there's a canned artichoke. I think that happened.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. One piece of canned artichoke, and that was all they used.
Which is the only way I've ever had artichokes. I think, like artichoke hearts. Like,
oh really?
Oh, well, I mean,
or
usually
jarred.
You're jarred. Yeah, jarred. It's true. It could be jarred.
Well, but if you eat, or if fresh. You eat an artichoke, you get to the heart at the end.
Oh, but it takes forever. Like I have to like thing. No, I have to like set up base camp and then summit the next morning. Like it's impossible.
You always say that, and then I make them in like 20 minutes, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, but then like, you know, an hour later, I'm exhausted and they're still there.
I quite like artichokes because every bite tastes like mayonnaise. It's really awesome.
No, melted butter, man. Yeah,
these mayonnaise spoons are great.
I was
going to
say mayonnaise versus melted butter with artichokes. Everyone weigh in.
Yeah, butter. Butter.
Definitely mayonnaise. Although my dad, like the classy adult thing when we were kids, like the kids got mayonnaise and the adults had like just a little bit of olive oil and possibly a bit of vinegar in it. And that was like, oh, when you get old, you get boring. mayonnaise is so good. I've never tried butter. That sounds fun. I'd do that.
It's very good.
You've never tried butter.
You fit no, well, and neither have the good cream. Folks at Philadelphia Cream Cheese.
I actually, my other favorite thing about artichokes is I like any food that involves throwing part of it after you eat it. I'm a big fan of there being a bowl in the middle and you toss stuff in.
Yeah,
it.
Trash bowl.
Yeah, trash bowl. That's fun.
Oh, see, trash bowls stress me out. So there you go.
Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. You just like want to make sure that they get emptied regularly, and then like you're enjoying the food, but you're also looking at like the spoils of like. The bits, I don't know.
I guess, yeah. You're looking at
like all of pits.
Yeah, refuse.
Yeah, it's sort of like eating cherries.
Well, oh, I don't like pits because they tend to go in your mouth first and then come out. That's gross. But like the artichoke, you just like, you bite it and then throw it.
Well, they're
that's
half a good in your point.
Mouth. Yeah, it's half. I mean, that's like, you're deluding yourself if you think it's not in your mouth. That's still your mouth, Alex.
Significantly better. So another great challenge in Last Chance Kitchen. I thought it was a fun, fun spin. I think they're doing really good with the challenges there.
Yeah, that's fun.
Did you guys? What did you guys think? The Aussie won for her surf and swine over Benet's swordfish two ways.
But it was great. It was too close for comfort for me. I mean, I really wanted Janine to win.
Just like, you wanted just a crushing victory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually sort of surprised that it was so close. I liked that too, though. Go ahead, Megan.
Oh, sorry. I just like it when there's some redemption. And I feel like Benet needed a moment of redemption. And, you know, maybe he, even though he lost, he got some compliments on his dish. And I thought that was nice for him.
I got to joke around with Tom. Yeah. That was nice too.
And I think Tom literally said, well, you can cook, which is nice. You know, good to know that.
Yeah, it was the only good dish he's made, really, this whole season.
Yeah,
and he almost, you know, gave Tom food poisoning, but I think he dodged that bullet.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty great. Another really impressive showing in Last Chance Kitchen. Michael has been eliminated twice, still manages to annoy me on a weekly basis.
I know!
I got so upset when I realized he was going to be in, like, the chorus for the rest of Last Chance Kitchen. I was like, oh no, it's going to keep happening.
He's still calling people baby from the sidelines.
Oh, it's so sad. Yeah. Also, I didn't realize that Tom has a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Yeah. Did everyone else know that?
I did not know that.
Is that how you picture Tom?
No.
That was crazy.
Papa Tom.
Yeah. Papa Tom.
Although Tom did say this great thing about how whenever he has to make dinner for his kids in a hurry, he boils pasta for 6 minutes and then throws in frozen peas. And it's basically a dish that I make, but I have no idea the number of minutes. And I just like that Tom even managed to make the same food taste the same, but still make me feel dumb. I liked it. That's what a professional should know.
And would have had like another 10 minutes of quick fire left. If you were like cooking in a challenge.
Yeah.
Would have been like, oh, and then I went and slaughtered a lamb and grilled it perfectly.
Stuffed with cream cheese.
And I still had time to make another kid with my movie director wife.
Yeah.
Oh. So surprising.
Yeah.
Also, he mentioned something that, like, a dish that his mom used to make in the 60s. And for some reason, I pictured, like, a young child with Tom Colicchio's head. It's like bald flashback Tom.
Even then, he was jealous of young John Besh's hair.
And it just seemed right. I didn't feel upset. I felt like everything was right with the world.
Even when he was a kid, he had a Tom head. That's just how it works. so Aussie continues to dominate. We'll see next week when she gets to battle Patty or Brian or Sarah or whoever. If she can keep up the thing. Any final thoughts on Top Chef Episode 6?
You know, I think if they're going to make us do, like have like a crappy challenge with like some kind of like product placement, at least it's just like everyone should get a sample of that food, just send it to every single person who's watching it.
You wanted a little bit of cream cheese while you're watching this.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, at least give us some free cream cheese, because I don't know, it seems ridiculous.
That defeats the purpose. They want you to go buy it.
Well, the first taste should be free then. Just
it does seem like this worked on you if you wanted cream cheese after it, because I was like kind of disgusted by them.
No, just send the cream cheese guy towards my house. I'll have a spoon. I'll just like scrape off some of the side and like send him on his way.
I definitely agree with the thing we said earlier though, that like that about putting the ridiculous branding in the quickfire. I understand that Philadelphia cream cheese wouldn't be interested in that, but I want the quickfires to be as ridiculous as possible and the elimination challenges to be as close to pure as possible. That's my preference every time. So
yeah,
it is a little bit of a bummer to watch it get taken over like that and then make something gross for everybody. Although, Creole Tomatoes sponsored the quickfire and they still sucked at that, so.
Excuse me. And just so we don't get like targeted by the powerful cream cheese lobby, I will say, for what it's worth, that cream cheese is surprisingly good on like regular olive bread. Like I had that relatively recently and it was actually quite delicious. So, Philly, you can do some things right.
I'm going to go against Philly here for just no hate here, Philadelphia, but I think you're terrible. I really like, I had like the local bagel shop has like fresh made whipped cream cheese and it is life changing and it's so hard to eat packaged crappy cream cheese with guar gum and stuff and ice protein isolate in it when you've had just actual cream cheese.
It's really easy though, Alex, if the cream cheese guy shows up to your house and it's free.
So in your world, does Toyota also owe you a free RAV4?
Yes, the Toyota man. I'll scrape off a bit of it.
Just a sample of the Toyota
Philadelphia RAV4. Cream cheese brought to you by a RAV4.
I bet they'd give you a free test drive. That's probably true. All right, you guys. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Thanks for listening. We're gonna be back again next week talking about episode 7. If you have any thoughts on this. Oh, actually, one thing I did want to say. I did get an email from my sister, who's a fan of the show, and she mentioned, have you guys, when we watch it on Amazon or you buy it from iTunes, you don't get this, but the Bravo broadcast has these huge surveys, like phone call-in competitions, that take up like a third of the show, like on the screen at the bottom, that are like, who's going to make the best quickfire dish? And then like, choose these three people, and you text in or something, and it's just like a quick poll. But they're just like, they're taking more and more of the screen each time. Have you guys noticed that? At some point, there's going to be a TV show, and you can't hear it. You can't see it. You can only hear it. There's just graphics over the front. Like, the real wives of Orange County are in the bottom corner, and that seems to be growing where there's more and more activity from the ad in the corner.
Yeah, it'd just be like a poll, like text now. What show do you think you're watching?
Brought to you by cream cheese.
Our best guess challenge tonight on Bravo.
If you have any other feedback for us, send us an email to podcast@read-weep.com where you can give us your feedback on the show and also talk to us about your favorite Top Chef moments. You ask your questions for the panel or tell us what processed food you'd like to see sponsor an elimination challenge. Also tell us whether or not you think the cream cheese man is real.
And tune in next week to see if Chris made it out of Last Chance Podcast versus himself.
Yeah, it's tough competition, and his challenge this week was to do an entire podcast just about the commercials playing in the bottom corner of Bravo. Very niche, but like coming up on the next episode of Amish Mafia or whatever. That's a different channel. Anyway,
the Real Housewives of Amish Mafia.
Oh, I bet that if that doesn't exist, it will soon. The Real Housewives of Amish County. I bet. Anyway, packyourmics.com. You can also go comment on this episode. Let us know your thoughts on anything from the panel today. And packyourmics.com/Amazon if you want to support our show. Buy stuff from Amazon there, including this show. Only $1.99 an episode. It's going to be a hard decision since Chris isn't here. Well, I'll just send him an email and let him know he has to pack his mics and go. Chris, wherever you are, pack your mics, stay gone. Anyway, we'll be back in next week. Thanks for joining us, Ezra and Sarah, in San Francisco.
Yep. Of course.
And thanks for being here, representing New York by yourself, Tanya. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
And in Portland, Megan. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
It was fun. I'm Alex Falcone. We'll see you guys again next week. Goodbye. Oh, that's the wrong sound effect. Bye. Bye.
The sound effect for our show is just you saying bye.
Bye. Bye.